talking with Tim Pitkin in the living room of his home on Hollister Hill in Nashville, Vermont, December 4th, 1973. Tim, you have two names. What are your two names? You're known by two names in this community.
You mean Tim and Roy?
Mm-hmm. How is it that you have... Do you have a double identity that goes with those two names?
I don't think so. Although in the recent years, I think the person who, by and large, who's known me most closely, called me Tim. And others who know me less well tend to call me Royce. On the other hand, if you go back to the and talk with persons who are my age, with whom I grew up in Marshfield, about half of them called me Royce. It's a little hard to understand how that happened, but it did.
What is your real legal name?
My real middle name?
Your real legal name.
Royce. Tim. Royce Stanley, 50.
Where did Tim come from?
Well, it goes back a long time. I can remember the incident that led to it. I must have been about 5 years old, I would think. I'm not quite sure how long it is. And I remember my mother singing the song Timothy Tucker Sings for His Supper. And she went to calling me Timothy Tucker, and I didn't like it very well. And apparently it bothered me a little bit, but I thought, well, I'd hurt my mother's feelings by saying I didn't like it. So I said to her later, well, you can call me Timothy Tucker if you want to. And so that's where it began. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, my other members of my family called me Bug. Went back to the time when I crawled around as a very small child. And that name stuck, I must say, for years, so that when I graduated from Marshfield High School, which was in 1916, a two-year high school, some of my classmates were still calling me Bug. And some of them would now, I guess, if they saw me. But the nickname Tim really seemed to stick, and it was carried from Marshfield to Goddard Seminary. I went to Goddard as a student. Some kids in Marshfield went over there and knew me and called it Tim. So that got spread around there. And then later, when I went to the University of Vermont, there were some Goddard graduates who were there, and so they called me Tim. Mm-hmm. And that's where it kept going for some.
Did you refer to yourself as Tim when you were in the Goddard Seminary?
Did I what?
Did you refer to yourself as Tim?
Well, I didn't refer to myself. Whatever anybody called me, I responded to.
Why didn't you like Timothy Tucker?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I can't remember that. I just thought, well, that wasn't my name, I guess. Yeah.
Was Royce a family name, or was there some reason for calling you?
No, I was named really for a boy in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. My family lived in South Dakota for about 7 years, but I was not born there. But one of my brothers, I think, had a playmate whose first name was Royce. And so when they were casting around for a name some years later, they dredged up Royce. And then, yeah.
A rather humble origin.
I was not named, as some people thought I should, probably was, for Josiah Royce. But, right. It might have been by a circuitous route, I suppose.
Why would people think you would have been named after Josiah? Right?
Well, just because he was a famous man, that was all. Might have thought that was trying to do with that wasn't the reason.
Were you the youngest boy, Tim, that your mother gave you a pet name, so to speak?
No, because all of us had, all of us had nicknames, really. My oldest brother, for example, was called Picky. And my youngest brother, whose name was Victor, was quite naturally called Big.
Mm-hmm.
My brother Percy, who was just older than I, was usually referred to as Perse or Redhead or TJ. He was redheaded. His name was Percy.
Mm-hmm.
And his middle initial was J. So, although curiously enough, when he married, his wife called him Pip. And so this is getting confusing to some of the rest of us. Oh, my goodness, you see.
So is there any distinction then? I guess, it, you know, I've heard older people call you Royce, or refer to you as Royce.
Yes.
And I guess I wondered myself if that didn't reflect sort of your, whereas people as myself call you Tim. And I guess I was wondering if there was any sort of duality or any sort of...
I don't think so. Yeah. See, and persons to whom I had met and hadn't come to know well, I would be introduced to as Royce, and so they want to be on friendly terms, you know, and so just would call me Royce, not knowing that I was usually called Tim. I think that happened.
Was it unusual for people to go to the seminary after high school? Did a great percentage of kids go on to higher education after high school?
Well, out of my class, let me think a little bit about that. Of course, I keep in mind that the seminary was a secondary school. It was not a training school for the ministry. It was simply a secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
There were several of them around the state. There was one in Montpelier called Montpelier Seminary, which was supported by the Methodists. Goddard Seminary was supported by the Universalists in Barrie. There were others scattered around throughout New England, as a matter of fact. And they were simply what we generally referred to as preparatory schools.
Mm-hmm.
Goddard Seminary was started, according to the records, as a preparatory school for Tufts College,
mm-hmm.
although it was not started by people connected with Tufts, except I think some of them graduated from Tufts.
Mm-hmm.
Tufts was a Universalist college.
Mm-hmm. Is that the reason that you chose that particular seminary?
Well, and historical reasons. It was just assumed in my family that if you're going to go away to school, you'd go to Goddard.
Mm-hmm.
And that was true, I suppose, of most Universalist families around.
Mm-hmm.
My family was Universalist. My family had been associated with Goddard at the very beginning, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
My great-grandmother was one of those involved in getting it going. And my grandfather was on the board of trustees. My father went there. My aunts went there. All of my brothers went there. My mother, interestingly enough, had gone to Montpelier Seminary, which was Methodist, but her family was not Methodist. I guess they lived in congregation, I'm not sure.
Mm. When you said it was assumed that when a Pitkin went away to school, was going to Barrie going away to school?
Oh, yeah. Because we only had a two-year high school,
mm-hmm.
as a matter of fact, and we didn't have a two-year high school, real two-year high school, until about the time I came along. My oldest brother Fred had no local high school to go to,
mm.
so he had to do all of his work away from the town. But they had winter courses, I don't think course is quite the word, they kept school in the winter, let us say, for older boys and girls, but as far as I can judge, it tended to be by and large older boys who came in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But that they were not regular high schools.
Yeah.
They were simply, I think advanced elementary schools.
Into what grade? I mean, would that be through the eighth grade then, or through?
Well, we had nine grades. In order to go into high school, you had to have gone through nine grades. Then you had 4 years of high school. So that it was a 13-year. Process if you went the whole range.
Okay.
A lot of us skipped grades, that's what happened. So that I, for example, finished the second year of high school when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I hadn't skipped some grades, I would have been, 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
Why
did you skip the grades?
I guess teacher thought you better get that out of the way, so I got to go.
You seem to sort of give the impression that you were the black sheep of your family. Is that true, or sort of the mischievous one, or the outlandish one? Or?
No, I think we're all more or less alike in that regard.
Oh.
I never thought of being either outlandish or, I suppose, sometimes mischievous.
Oh.
I'm more so than most kids, I guess.
Okay. So that was an accepted tradition in your family to go to the Goddard Seminary?
Oh, yeah.
And did you actually go to Tufts when you were
No, no. No, only one of my family went to Tufts. My oldest brother went to West End, the next brother went to Middlebury, the next brother went to Tufts. I started Cornell, but transferred to the University of Vermont. My youngest brother went to Clark. He didn't believe in following one of those tracks, so I guess the reason.
Was it common for boys, either boys and or girls from this area, to go to higher education, you know, or to even to go to a seminary school at all? I mean,
well, it was common for a fair number of them. I was trying to think about my own class. There were, I remember, about 12 of us who graduated from two-year high school. And I think all the girls went on to either Montpelier or Goddard Seminary. And all of the boys, except one, I think went on to seminaries, or possibly one may have gone to Burlington High School, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you take that particular class, the one because I knew past, which was in, say, finished two-year high school in 1916, there was a very high percentage of them went on.
Mm-hmm.
But not very many went on to college. As a matter of fact, when my oldest brother graduated from college, I think he was only about the fourth or fifth person from Marshfield who graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
The druggist, Elbridge Gilman, who incidentally was the Lois Gilman's husband's grandfather, had gone to college. He was a graduate. There was a chap named Smith, Warner Smith was a graduate, about that same era.
Mm-hmm.
And then there seems to have been a short period when nobody graduated. Then my oldest brother came along, and another family, a Phelps family, where I think two of the three boys went on to college.
Mm-hmm.
One became a physician, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were those because those were the brightest students, or from the wealthiest families, or what determined?
Oh, they were not wealthy. As a matter of fact, no. I would say we had no wealthy families, as far as I know. The son that I thought of as a boy as being wealthy, but as I look at it now, they're certainly not wealthy. Our family was far from being wealthy, as a matter of fact. We had very, very little money. I was amazed. When I look back on how my mother ever got along, managed things she did. This other family, the earliest family I mentioned where boys went on to college, I think was a poor family in terms of money. It's hard to count to know just why some chose to go on, some didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the opportunities that may have opened up.
Mm.
My oldest brother, for example, you may have heard me say this before, but talk over here in Hollister Hill District School, mm-hmm. the one that by Arm City. But he had not, at that time, finished high school, had not finished secondary school. He graduated from Goddard in 1911, and then, before going to college, he became principal of the two-year high school in Waitsfield, mm-hmm. Vermont. So you see that the formal education was very sketchy.
Mm-hmm. 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 What was the curriculum like at Goddard Seminary? What kinds of things did you have?
Very similar, I'll say, to what many high schools have now. Not much change. We had, they at that time were offering music, English in various forms, English, literature, American literature, and writing, composition, mm-hmm. rhetoric, physics, chemistry, mathematics, from algebra through to solid geometry, trigonometry. History, French, I suppose they must have had Latin, I didn't take Latin. I think they were offering German at that time. They were doing quite a lot with secretarial commercial courses, the whole program there. And they offered psychology and philosophy. It's rather interesting because that sort of disappeared at the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
At least for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there were, my recollection is they had some home economics work at Garden too.
Hmm. Was there any religious kind of education?
Not at Garden.
Hmm.
I think there was probably some at the Montpelier Seminary and Baptist School.
Mm-hmm. Did you live there, Ken?
Oh, yes. We lived there. It was a residential school.
Mm-hmm. And then you came home for summers and that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. I was there for 1 year. I did 2 years of work in one of those colleges. It's normal, but that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
See, I stayed out of school for 2 years after I graduated from high from Marshfield and worked on the farm, as all my brothers had done before me, as a matter of fact. Except they worked longer.
Mm-hmm.
As you move down the scale of family ages, the period that we stayed at home grew shorter and shorter.
Mm.
It was common when my oldest brother was around for boys to stay on the farm with their parents until they were 21. They were a distinct economic asset. Well, I think my oldest brother stayed around. He wasn't there all the time. I think he was teaching over here when he was 19, in my recollection. But still, he would keep coming back and help out at home. My next brother stayed until, I think, close to 21. And my other brother, he must have stayed until he was around 19 or so, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed until I was 17. Then went to Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest brother, I would say, must have... he had a little different experience, because this time he came along, they had a four-year high school in Cabot. We're just getting ready to have one.
Mm-hmm.
He went, I think, about 3 years, or 2 years maybe, and then went to Garden.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose we were a relatively typical family in that regard, except the higher percentage of us went on to college. And
mm-hmm.
Kids
didn't. So men didn't marry. I mean, nowadays people sort of get married. Some people get married when they're 19, 20, 21. Was that unusual then? Or did it just depend on what kind of a family you came from, or what your ambitions were?
I suppose it depended on various things. If a girl became pregnant, they seemed to think it prudent to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened not infrequently sometimes.
Is that true, Tim? Because one doesn't hear about that from New England.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't... I'm sure that out of wedlock pregnancies were not as common then as they happen to be right now. We're in a period where they're very common now. I was just reading the other day that I think 3 out of 10 babies that are born, but teenage girls are born out of wedlock. And that teenage needs to go still through 19.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe high enough. But I remember as a kid thinking of a girl when I was in the elementary school. She was older than most of us. Apparently a girl who didn't learn schoolwork very readily. And I remember thinking, gee, that girl will probably never get married. And of course, she married before anybody else did, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I think kids who didn't have any very great intellectual interests tended to marry quite early.
Mm-hmm. Did they then stay on the family farm, or what did they do in that?
Well, it varied. Some of them stayed on the family farm. Most of them did what was called going out to work, I think.
Which is?
Well, they'd work as the girl worked as a hired girl, work in the house, do housework and so forth. The boy would be a hired man, work on the farm, do chores.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they got jobs at working in the mills around, meaning basically mostly sawmills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever it means.
So women had girls in the house to help them with the work? Lots of times.
I didn't know what that.
Women had, like, did your mother have a girl in the house to help you with the work, or was that common?
Yeah, that's quite common. My mother did off and on. I don't know what it was, because she wasn't feeling very well, although it seemed to me she was in pretty good health. But when she, when the family had pretty well grown up and gone away, curious enough, she had a girl come in help quite frequently.
Mm. I never realized that either. I assume that girls would help their own mothers, or even if after they were married, rather than go work with somebody else.
I think probably that's unlikely. If any, she, again, the girl tended to follow the man.
Mm-hmm.
And so if she did anything, she would go to his parents' home
mm-hmm.
to work on that farm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But my guess is, I'd have to try and figure that out carefully, but my guess is that most of them tended to go off by themselves, that is, to take jobs somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But within a certain area?
Oh,
did they go as far as Boston, say, or...?
Oh, well, of course, there's always been an out-migration from Vermont,
mm-hmm.
Almost from the beginning we got started, so that there were some who were always moving out.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that I knew well tended to stay around this area,
mm-hmm.
actually.
Why did people leave then?
No opportunities, really, for employment.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
See, families tended to be pretty good size, and farms couldn't support. For example, if my four brothers and I had decided to stay on the farm, we simply couldn't make any kind of a living.
Mm.
So somebody has to move away
mm.
and find some other kind of work. Well, there weren't that number of opportunities because this was basically a farming area.
Mm. Why couldn't the farm support that many people?
You couldn't produce enough food. You couldn't get enough mm. produce, mm. either in the form of milk or grain or potatoes or something.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, difficult enough to get for just the ordinary family.
Mm.
There were no really wealthy farmers that I knew of.
Mm-hmm.
There were two, three farmers that apparently did very well, but you couldn't call them wealthy.
Mm. You mentioned before that when you were a child there were some that appeared to be that way. What were the little things that made you think that they were wealthy, that were different from your family?
Well, they would be among the first ones in town, for example, to own an automobile.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't seem to have problems paying their bills.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it was known that they inherited either the farm or a little bit of money, something of this sort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we assume, and I think probably erroneously, that persons who ran stores were fairly well-to-do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that actually that probably was not true.
I mean, just because they were surrounded by money and goods and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they could sell them, and they practically all of them sold on credit, you know.
Yeah.
Not credit cards either.
Right.
One of the curious practices you may have heard of, like the Helen was speaking about it, she lived in West Virginia, you know,
mm-hmm.
born in West Virginia, and she was mentioning the other day that when her mother paid their weekly or monthly bill, or probably a monthly bill, I don't know. They were usually given a little bag of candy. And that happened here.
Mm.
When my mother, even my father, would pay the bill, the grocer, storekeeper would come out with a little bag of candy for the kids.
Mm. What kinds of things did your father and mother buy at the store?
Oh, they bought ground cornmeal, flour, tripe, sometimes ham, but usually meat was bought from a meat cart, which was driven by, moved by horses, and they traveled from house to house around, out to the farms and so on. We bought, of course, sugar, spices, vinegar, all that sort of thing. Although we frequently made our own vinegar from cider, or and cider maple syrup. Very few canned goods compared to what is bought now. But we did buy oatmeal, but again in like large packages.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this instant oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
We had very little prepared cereal at my folks bought, but I think there was little available at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We did not buy oranges because we couldn't get them except a very short time of the year. Usually around Christmas time that we get oranges.
Mm-hmm. Was that a rare treat?
Oh yeah, that was great to have oranges.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
And you bought hams? I mean, you didn't raise your own pigs, or?
Yeah, we did, but it's not usually enough to last the year round. So that the ham was something you could buy in the store and would keep. So.
Mm-hmm. 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 What happened after the Goddard Seminary? Can you tell us that? You were only there for 1 year because you said you completed.
Yeah, and then I started College Cornell the next year, fall 1918. And then I was there only one semester. I found it too expensive. And I had friends with University of Mom, they'd tell me what a great place that was. I'd never considered going to university for some reason when I was at Goddard. In fact, only three places I thought of going to. One was Brown, one was Dartmouth, and one was Cornell. And I think the reason I finally chose Cornell was because we had a minister in Marshall who had come to, had graduated from Cornell, at least attended there, and he talked about what a good place it was. So I went there. I liked it well enough, but say I found it more expensive. I'm now a state student, and the expense is higher. And then the tuition at the University of Vermont was very low. So I transferred in the middle of the year, first year to the University of Vermont. I actually liked the University of Vermont better. It was a much more democratic place. I think about the other day talking with some Goddard kids about how many students they knew. I knew very few Cornell students at the end of that semester. Too large a place to get to know, unless you were there quite a long time. But at the University of Vermont, I was surprised when I enrolled there and got going. I'd walk along the campus and meet a student, say hello, and I think Rick's supposed to say hello, and I said, well, how the dickens they know who I am? But they didn't know. It was just a practice at the university at that time to speak to everybody else. But it made a tremendous difference to a person coming in who knew very few. People really.
What did it feel like to go out of state to Cornell the first time? Was that the first time you had been out of state? Or?
Except a very brief visit over to New Hampshire. I had one of my oldest brother was the principal of a high school in Enfield, New Hampshire, and I visited him once. And that's how I got interested in Dartmouth, because he's not terribly far from Dartmouth. And he went to Dartmouth, what a wonderful place this is. This is before I'd gone with Cotton. That's the only time I was outside of the state. It was quite a venture, as a matter of fact, for me. I was very naive, I must say. I had made all arrangements for a room many times before I went down there. I went by train. You had to go to from Montpelier to Burlington. Burlington, you went down to Rutland, to Albany. In Albany, you took another train that went from there to Binghamton, New York. I remember sitting on the banks of the Susquehanna and having lunch on the day that I went down. And then you take another train, in those days, back over to Ithaca. And here, it took a whole day to do this. Then when I landed there at night, I remember early evening, still light, of course. Didn't have any place to stay, and I began to look around. And but what they did was they have a number of fellows who apparently made a business of meeting freshmen coming in and were telling why they could get rooms. And I was told by one of those guys that I should do a place where I could get a room. Right on the campus, as a matter of fact, it was one of the caretakers lived right on campus near the veterinary college. So I got a room there. Had a roommate and stayed there.
Were there any advantages to being a Vermonter that you could see?
Advantage to being a Vermonter?
In another place. I mean, did you perceive things differently, or did you learn differently, or were you relating to people differently? Or?
Well, it's hard for me to say. My impression was that many of the persons I saw were more sophisticated than I was. On the other hand, my brother, Paul, who had gone to Middlebury, had told me that I would find college a very exciting place, that it would be lots of ideas floating around, intellectual stimulation and so forth, that I was expecting this. And so for the first several weeks, I was a little overwhelmed, but then I began to discover that it was anything but so intellectually stimulating and exciting. I remember being in an English class, for example. Some stranger, you remember the name of the guy who taught the course, his name is Fisk.
Tim Edwards, I think.